Digital technologies are now taking a key role in our economic and social life, yet large numbers of people don't have the online access to help them with job hunting, education and training, social interaction and other supports that could improve their lives. Last week, SACOS launched its submission to this year's state budget, which identifies and makes policy recommendations on the issues surrounding digital inclusion. Julian Thomas is a Professor of Media and Communications at RMIT University and the author of the Australian Digital Inclusion Index 2016. I joined him for a chat at the submission launch, and he started off by explaining when his research first started.
We started looking at this topic actually back in the early 2000s, when we could see that it was going to be pretty important for people. And the first project we actually did was in relation to social housing or public housing in Victoria. So we did a project with an organisation called Info Exchange, which existed back then and still does, which was looking at how to put computers into people's flats in public housing in Victoria. And we were really interested to see what they'd do with it and what sorts of benefits access to computers would have for people in public housing in Victoria. So that was the first project we did, and since then we've worked in Central Australia looking at internet access and the problems around making sure that's possible in remote Indigenous communities, and we've undertaken a number of sort of national sample surveys trying to gauge these issues at a more aggregate level. More recently, we've been doing this more fine-grained work, which is really trying to measure the digital divide a bit more accurately to sort of gauge this problem of digital inclusion or exclusion.
If we could go back to that first project, was that quite an eye-opener?
Absolutely. It was absolutely fascinating, because what we found was a very diverse population, very diverse group of people. We were working with a housing estate in inner city Melbourne, where I think there were more than 65 languages spoken on this particular housing estate. And what we found was very enthusiastic uptake and adoption of these internet information technologies. And what people were doing with them was fascinating. They were getting involved in education and training. They were keeping in contact with people on the other side of the world. So it was really instructive and illuminating for us to see how people used computers for all kinds of different things and how the internet could be valuable for people in quite different sorts of social circumstances.
Fast forward to 2016, 2017. You guys have done some work on the Australian Digital Inclusion Index. Tell me about that process, that research process, and I suppose the catalyst for it. Why you wanted to create this index?
Sure. So what we were aware of was that, I mean, a bit like our project on that housing estate in Victoria back in the early 2000s, we were aware of people doing all kinds of interesting work trying to do something about the digital divide in different parts of the country. A lot of this research and a lot of the initiatives and programs that we could see were a bit fragmented, and a lot of them didn't include much in the way of analysis or evaluation, so we didn't really know what made a difference, and we couldn't really see easily how what might be a successful program for, say, building digital inclusion among a particular group of people, say, for example, older people in a particular place, if that worked, how could it be scaled up? So how do you go from these local initiatives to doing things nationally? And what we thought, especially after talking to organisations and activists and advocates and community bodies and governments, all with an interest in this area, we thought that what might be useful was a way of actually gauging digital inclusion, mapping it and measuring it, because, you know, we've got this idea that if you can measure something, you can do something about it, you can change it. So we thought that if we had a robust national measure of the degree to which Australians were included or not in the digital world, then that would be useful for anybody who wanted to do anything about it.
So how exactly do you measure it?
Well, what we did again, after actually talking to lots of people, and we changed our minds about this a few times, but we realised that digital inclusion's a fairly complex phenomenon and there are multiple dimensions to it. So we thought, well, we need to think about people's access to technology, but it's not just technology and it's not just networks, it's also how much data you have. So those sorts of questions. Do you have a mobile? Do you have a smartphone? Do you have internet access at home? Do you have access to a fast fixed broadband network? Do you rely on mobile? So we thought that was all about access, and that was one dimension of it, which was important, but it wasn't the only dimension. A lot of people said to us affordability was really important. You need to look at that. So in just the same way that we look at the degree to which housing is affordable in Australia, we know communications is vital for people, it's essential. So how affordable is it? And that's not just about how much it costs, but it's about what proportion of your income do you have to put towards acquiring this service? So affordability was the second critical dimension of digital inclusion. The third one was, what can people actually do, which we call digital ability, but you could also describe it as digital capability or literacy or skills. But what that's about is, how much confidence do people have when they go about doing things online? Do they feel as though they are in control of what they're doing? Do they feel confident about what they're up to? Do they feel as though they've got some knowledge of what's happening, say, in relation to privacy or other things? That's important. It's the skills as well, and it's the activities. What are people actually able to do? Are they buying stuff online? Are they, you know, blogging or doing other things? Are they doing banking transactions, interacting with government, that sort of stuff? So activities, skills and levels of confidence, that's all connected to this digital ability dimension. So when we divided digital inclusion up into these three different dimensions, access, affordability and ability, we realised we were sort of starting to get a more balanced, a more comprehensive picture of what people could actually do online. So then it was about finding the data that would tell us about those things. We were lucky to find that. We've got access to a very rich data set from Roy Morgan Research, which gives us very detailed data around all of these questions right across the country. And that then gave us two other critical things we really wanted, which was the ability to track this over time. So our data set for the Digital Inclusion Index goes back to 2013, so we can see what's happened. We can see what the trends are, we can see how volatile it is and so forth. That's really important. The other thing that's really important is that it enables us to look at the differences between different parts of Australia and different Australians, different groups, different parts of the population. So we can see what's happening in different regions of South Australia. We can compare that to Queensland and other parts. So getting that regional granularity, if you like, a little bit of social science jargon, but getting some detail about going down to that level and also being able to track it across time, they were the other key things. So that's how we do it. And so we build a number, which we can then compare with others.
Because, of course, if you're going to have meaningful data, it does need to be substantial.
It needs to be substantial, and you need to be able to make meaningful comparisons with other things. So that's what it's all about, really.
So what were some of the major findings of the research? Any interesting correlations or perhaps things that you thought, oh, goodness, I didn't expect that?
Well, there were some surprises. When we looked at affordability, for example, we were surprised to find that although the cost of data has gone down over the period that we've looked at since 2013, so everybody would be familiar with this, if you've got a mobile phone plan or something like that, you're now getting more data for your dollar than you used to. But what we found was that affordability was actually declining, even though that price had gone down. And the reason for that is that Australians have been buying more and more data, because the internet's become such an essential part of everyday life, we're all spending more on it. And so that was a surprise to us. It was a surprise to a number of the organisations we talked to about it. And it really highlighted the value of looking at this data, as I said, across time, and then also being able to see how that affects people in different sorts of social situations. So we could see, for example, that there were groups of people, vulnerable populations, less included groups, who were at real risk of missing out. If you look at people with a disability, for example, we find worryingly low levels of digital inclusion. At older Australians, senior citizens, you see some of the lowest scores for digital inclusion that we've found in the entire research. So what we found was a great deal of variability across Australia's geography. So big differences depending on where you are, and big differences depending on who you are. And that is striking. And I think it sort of shows what we need to do if we really want Australia to be a digitally inclusive place, if we expect everybody to be able to access government services and health information, education and training, employment opportunities online, all these kinds of things. It's a bit of a call for action, actually. We can't be complacent about this. We can't assume that everybody's going to end up with a smartphone in the next couple of years. This is probably not going to happen, but what we've really got to do is help people get access and be able to use resources online, otherwise they just won't get the benefits.
A very basic example is the various outback towns in South Australia and other places in the country that have no Wi-Fi, and some of them don't even have phone connection.
Absolutely. So those issues around access to infrastructure are still very significant. They're big issues. So they're really important. And one of the things our data enables us to do is to look at those regional differences. So you can see in South Australia, for example, that the more remote parts of the state are a fair way behind where the cities are. And so that is clearly a call for action around that. We can also see that there are particular groups of people who need particular attention too. And so that also helps us guide our interventions or our policy making in this space.
So how did South Australia fare versus the other states?
South Australia isn't faring all that well, I'm sorry to say. We're worried. If we look at how the states and various states and territories travel in relation to our index, South Australia is consistently second last. So Tasmania's on the bottom, and very worryingly, Tasmania actually went backwards in our indicators from 2013 to 2016. South Australia didn't do that. So in South Australia, digital inclusion's improved over the last 3 years, but it hasn't improved as fast as it is elsewhere, and it's remained second last. If we imagine a league table of digital inclusion, it's remained second last, unfortunately, for that whole period. And that's fairly consistently the case across almost all our indicators and for almost all our groups. So, for example, if you're just thinking about Adelaide, if we look at our capital cities, Adelaide is ranked second last. And so ahead of Hobart. So there's a gap there, and there's a particularly big gap in relation to people with a disability, people who have less than secondary education, people who have less money, and older South Australians. So there's a lot of work to be done here, and I think the index might help maybe galvanise people to think about what could be done to address the situation.
Do we have an idea of why?
Well, we know that it's almost certainly a combination of things. So digital inclusion correlates pretty closely with social and economic indicators more generally. So if you look at Australia overall, those people who are most likely to be more included, as it were, to have higher scores of digital inclusion are people who are better educated, who are more well off, who are younger, who live in the cities. These are significant factors. So that's a consideration. And in South Australia, we do find more people who have lower incomes, lower levels of education, and so forth. So to some degree, what we're seeing is digital inclusion following the contours of social and economic fortune across the country. But we know also that this is something we can do something about. So it's not determined by that. It should be determined by governments, communities, businesses, everybody deciding that this matters and they can do something about it. So we think that what may have happened in South Australia is that while if we look back a few years, there was a lot of attention and concern around digital inclusion and the development of a strategy to improve it, not a great deal seems to have happened more recently. And so the opportunity there is now around for us to, say, focus on, for example, digital ability, which governments and state governments, local governments and community organisations can do something about and improve it. While it follows, as I say, the contours of social and economic fortune, it's not determined by that, and we can do something about it.
The index was published in the middle of last year. Have you had some attention from different stakeholders?
Well, I think there's been a lot of interest in it, which has been wonderful to see. And what you see is that digital inclusion is something that a lot of people are interested in. So obviously governments are interested in digital inclusion. Governments which are planning to put most of their services online are very concerned about the degree to which citizens may or may not be able to access it. Businesses are concerned about digital inclusion because as they go online, that's the size of their market. And if you're in education or in healthcare or in community services, it's also a factor. So one of the things we've noticed, of course, is that this is actually an issue for everybody. And so we've got a lot of feedback from a whole range of groups around why this might matter to them. That's been pleasing. But I think what we'd really like to see is people starting to see that this is something that everybody can actually do something about. And we're starting to see that, so that's good.
What's the next step? What's the next chapter for the index?
The next chapter for the index itself is some more data, some more reporting, some more analysis. So we'll be releasing another report in the next few months, which will update our findings. It's very important that we keep the index current and we keep this data fresh so we can see what trends are emerging. 3 years of data will become 4 years of data. That gives us a real sense of what is actually going on as we draw that story out a bit. We also want to make the index more usable to people who are thinking of doing positive things around digital inclusion at a local level or in relation to particular communities. So we're thinking about how we can do that, how we can make a questionnaire available to anybody, which will then basically enable you to do your own digital inclusion index and compare it to our numbers for Australia and regions and states. So that could be very useful.
Julian Thomas, Professor of Media and Communications at RMIT University and the author of the Australian Digital Inclusion Index 2016. For more information, head to digitalinclusionindex.org.au. You're listening to Small Change, the weekly radio show of SACOS.
Radio.